Joining us now on the Smart Rain guest line, I don't know if anybody's even more excited than we are that football is coming back this weekend than this guy. Craig Smith, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, what's up, fellas? School! School! Let's go. Minnesota Vikings.
How are your Vikings going to look this year?
Oh, every year we're going to win the Super Bowl. You guys know. I am the classic Viking fan. Right? Every year you can't convince me that we're not going to – we got a shot at it. We got a legitimate shot at it. We're going to make a run. Our offensive line is a lot better. Of course, it can't get much worse. Our defense is back. Coach Zim is going to coach him up. We're going to make it happen.
Does Adrian Peterson still
I'm
run
pumped.
For them?
No.
do they still have the purple people eaters? Well, I can't remember the last time Minnesota was really good, Coach. It's been a while.
It's been a few years. We got trounced by the Eagles in the NFC Championship game when they beat the Packers, or not the
yes.
Packers, the
Patriots.
The
yeah.
Patriots. They kind of ran that whatever play that was. Like, you hand it off, go left. Flip it back, the wide receiver goes right, throw it into the quarterback, touchdown. Then they went for two. Then Frank Reich left and went to the Indianapolis Colts. So anyway, we got pummeled. That was when I think it was the what did we call it? The Minneapolis Miracle?
Yeah.
Like, through the butt. We beat the Saints. I'm a part of it. But but anyway, I love football. It's going to be exciting to get it back. I can't wait to go to our first running youth football game. I've heard that's a heck of an atmosphere. And I saw a little thing on Twitter yesterday or a couple days ago, a good little pump-up thing about football here. So I can't wait to get rolling.
Well, wanted to chat with you a little bit because, you know, you and I saw the development of Nehemiah Chkaita coming in August 3 years ago. And then getting thrown right to the wolves and responding extremely well in his development in his 3 years at Utah State. But for those that aren't aware of the story, kind of take us on the background of what it took to get him to America, to get him to Utah State, and then how proud you are to see the fruits of that labor lead to him going 39th overall in the NBA draft.
Well, thanks for asking. And first of all, I'm glad to hear you survived the storm.
Oh, my gosh.
Bountiful last yeah. night. That was incredible. But you guys probably maybe already talked about it. But, you know, Nehemiah, what a great story and what an incredible journey he's had. You know, it started, we got hired 3 years ago at Utah State. And you know, we had kind of a mass exodus of players. I think we had five guys that left at that time, maybe six. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of size. It's very difficult to find big guys at that time in particular. And we didn't have a whole lot to build on except for our history, a great history, of course. And so, but Eric Peterson, our assistant, we had started doing some international recruiting at University of South Dakota. And Eric was our primary guy in charge of that. And just through some of our systems of networks and contacts, we came across Nehemiah. And, yeah, Eric and I were both at his draft party the other night. He goes, Coach, you remember when I showed you he showed like a 3 minute like clip tape, and I'm not a clip tape guy when it comes to recruiting, but I was like, yeah, like, you know, he could do some things that nobody in our program could. And then we all sat down in the office and we watched like 10 minutes and I just said, I don't need to see any more. This guy's a pro. And I kind of forgot I had said that. And he brought that up actually. It was kind of cool. But, you know, he didn't graduate till the end of June. He had committed in late May. Eric actually went over there. There were some FIBA things going on, and then he was able to meet with Nimi and do the whole thing. And long story short, he was able to get cleared, get his visa, all the things that go into it. And Eric has a long history of doing those kinds of things and knowing the ins and outs with that. And he got to school the second day. School started on, you know, Monday. He arrived on Tuesday. And, you know, Nimi comes from very humble beginnings. He didn't have a whole lot growing up. He started playing basketball late. And he showed up. I got a great picture of his first day at Utah State. And he's just this skinny, you know, 6'11", 215-pound kid, you know, young man, however you want to phrase it. And I always tell the story when he went to the cafeteria and his eyes just got huge. He saw all this food And we're just like, Nimi, you can eat as much as you want. You can go back for second, thirds, fourth, and just it's carte blanche, and it's part of your scholarship. And he just couldn't even believe it. And so he's always been a very appreciative guy. You know, we go play at Montana State, and then we had three straight home games. And we really played very, very well, and he burst onto the scene. And I remember every time we would take him out, I would always give him a little bit of feedback, a little instruction. He'd give me a big bear hug. And it was so cool but awkward at the same time. But and then just to see him grow and develop, he really struggled at the NBA Combine after his freshman year. But I think that struggle really, really helped him. Of course, he had the knee injury that really set him back. And it took him for a while to come back. He was finally himself at the end of his sophomore year, and that's why we beat the number. It's a huge reason we beat the number five ranked team in the country to win the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship. And then the year he had this year was just spectacular. On the floor, off the floor, his maturity, his leadership went to a whole nother level. And so here he is. And it's going to be a big learning curve for him in the NBA. He's never even been to an NBA game. And I'm sure he'll be going in the summer league. And so what a proud moment, certainly for all of us involved. I've never heard a teammate say anything bad about Nimi. And so I'm excited to see where his future goes.
Coach, you've been around this college game quite a long time, and you understand the transition to the professional game. Do you think his skill set transitions?
I do. I mean, there'll certainly be an adjustment. Like, you know, when you go back, I really do. But obviously he's got some work to do still, too. You know, what he does have, though, he's got a tremendous work ethic. He loves to be in the gym. He's incredibly smart and cerebral. That's the thing that not everybody realizes. And, you know, we were top five in the country in overall defense his freshman and sophomore year, and I think we were top 10 this year. And a monster piece of that is Nimish, because we really are a little bit like an amoeba in terms of what we do with our game planning. And when you have a guy like Nimi that allows you to do that, that's huge. And we had a lot of other smart players too, but Nimi is a big pivot point. So he's got natural instincts. You know, some guys have the physical tools, but they don't have the intelligence or the natural feel for the game. Nimi's got tremendous feel for the game on both sides of the ball. Everybody talks about his defense, and deservedly so. You know, he's one of the top five finalists for National Defensive Player of the Year. He's Defensive Player of the Year two of his 3 years in the conference, and he would have been three had it not been for his inconsistency with his knee injury. But, you know, he's very coachable. You say something to him one time, and that's all you got to say to him. You don't have to repeat yourself. So he wants to be coached. But obviously, you know, some things he's got to get better at. He's got to stretch his game on the offensive end with shooting the ball. But, you know, Scotty is that front row and center in every game. I mean, his ability, he became a closer for us.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we didn't care if they fouled him at the end of games because we knew he was going to make his free throws. And so his jump shot has improved dramatically. Now, it's not to the point where when he shoots a three, you feel like it's going in, you know. He's just moving. He moves so much better laterally this year. He's always been able to run well north and south. That might be a little bit more where he's going to have to, if a team is going to switch one through five, you know, that's going to be an adjustment for him. Obviously the strength of the players at that level. I asked Sam Merrill when he first got into training camp, what's the biggest adjustment? He just said, all these guys are just so strong. Right. And whether you're a point guard or a five man. So that'll be an adjustment for him. But that's an adjustment for everybody that way. So I think he's going to have a great career. Obviously, he's got to put the time in, but we know he will.
Craig Smith, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. New head coach at the University of Utah. But I don't know if you guys are going to make your way down to Vegas, but it's got to feel pretty good to see that over the last 2 years, you've been able to your staff has been able to help develop guys that have gone in the draft for two consecutive years. I mean, it's a pretty remarkable accomplishment, especially at Utah State.
Well, it is a great accomplishment, but it's a testament to them. You know, whatever sport you're in, it's a player's game. obviously coaches got to do their job and help them develop and hopefully put them in the right position to succeed. But those guys are out there making those plays. I mean, you know, Sam Merrill's the guy that makes the iconic shot with 1-4 flat and he drills it, right? And the things that Nemish was able to do. And, you know, it's pretty cool, the long history of Utah State basketball. And I think Sam was the first player, and I might, correct me if I'm wrong, that was drafted for the first time a Utah State men's basketball player was drafted in 34 years. And to be able to do that back-to-back, that's pretty cool. But you know what, guys? You know, to do what we did going 74 and 24 or whatever it was in 3 years, you got to have NBA, you got to have next level talent. You know, San Diego State wins the league all the time. Well, guess what? They almost always have an NBA guy, or whoever wins the Mountain West Conference, you know, they almost always have an NBA guy. And so you have to have the horses that are able to go out there and do those sorts of things. And I think what makes me really proud is obviously for them to be able to do that. But they're just really good people, and they were a joy to coach, and all of the coaches would say that. And like I said earlier, their teammates, well, I don't know that any of their teammates would say a bad thing about Sam or Nemish, and that's what's super cool, to be able to share that kind of experience for those 3 years. It's really, really special, and I can't wait to see what both those guys do at the next level.
Coach, what went into getting Booth Gotch to come back another year with the University of Utah as he entered into the portal?
You know, I think Booth, I think, really, really liked a lot of things about the University of Utah. Obviously, that was a tough time for everybody with COVID going on. And, you know, Booth is from Minnesota and comes from a bigger family. And so I think there was a lot of things that were going on personally for him. And I'm sure there were some things, you know, basketball wise, I never really get into that with guys. I've known Booth for a minute now, you know, out of high school. The last day we could be on the road at Utah State, when I first got hired there, I was at Compass Prep recruiting Booth and meeting with Booth. And obviously we didn't get him. And then, when he decided to leave University of Utah, we were recruiting him hard, but then you could start to see the writing on the wall. The big reason I think he was leaving was to get back home. And so it helped, I think, having a personal relationship with him as the head coach. Certainly DeMarlo Slocum, who's on our staff, had a very good relationship with him because he coached him for a year. He wasn't the primary recruiter, but he did coach him and had a great rapport. And so I think those things really helped. But he also really has great friends on the team, you know, in LaHotte and RB and Riley Batten and Brandon Carlson and Jackson Brenchley, and coming back to be with those guys. And he loves Salt Lake City and the experience here. So I think, I don't know that it was one thing. I think it was kind of the perfect storm. He sent an amazing text to Coach Slocum the other day. He's had a great summer. He's really getting better. And so that's exciting. But sent a great text about how happy he is to be back in Salt Lake City. And, you know, there was a reason. He could have went a lot of places out of high school, and there's a reason he chose the University of Utah. So we're pumped up for him, and we expect him to have a great year for us.
We saw David Jenkins put on a shooting clinic. I think it was the second game you played at UNLV this year. It's got to be nice to have that shooting on your side here at the University of Utah, I'm sure.
If you ever interview David, he's one guy that can talk a lot more than me or you or that dude is polished, but great person. David is, you're right, Coach. He can get that thing going, man. When you're preparing for him, I've had nightmares of that guy. When we were at the University of South Dakota and he was at South Dakota State, we were playing in the championship game to go to the NCAA tournament. He was a freshman. He had 29 on us. I told him 25 in the recruiting process. He was quick to correct me. And then you're right, at their place, I think he ended up with 33 or 31 or whatever it was. But, man, he can get it going. He's a little bit like, I always say, like Vinnie Johnson, the old microwave for the Detroit Pistons. When he makes one, two, and three can come really quick. But he's a guy with experience, big game experience. He's not afraid of anything. He's really, really a strong guy, knows what he's doing out there, and he can flat out put the ball in the hole. And he's had a few practices this summer where it's like, whoa, where he starts catching fire. And so We're excited about him and what he can bring to the table. You know, shooting is such a huge commodity, and obviously that's a skill level or a trait that a lot of people are looking for. And, you know, he's a Mountain West all-league guy, and he brings great experience to us.
Coach, I'm really curious how you're handling vaccinations with your players and with your assistant coaches, and how the University of Utah is handling vaccinations as you guys head into competition and camp. What types of things are you doing in that scenario?
You know what? We were fortunate. Of course, we got hired here. I think my first day was March 28th, and hired DeMarlo and Eric, what, 3 or 4 days later? And then just, you know, our athletic trainer, Trevor, he's been around forever since the Coach Majerus days. He's the head of our athletic training area for all of athletics. He's phenomenal in what he does. And, you know, all of our staff and every one of our student athletes is fully vaccinated. So we are, you know, we just said something to our guys a couple times between Trevor and I. We didn't mandate anything, but just kind of laid it out there, like, these are the pros, these are, you know, and if you have any concerns, feel free to talk them over. But I think when the guys found out that, you know, to my understanding, you wouldn't have to quarantine due to contact tracing if you're fully vaccinated. If you have symptoms, so to speak, and Trevor deems it necessary, then you would have to test. Like, I got a little bit sick a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and so I went in and got tested, and I tested negative, so I didn't have to, you know, I was fine. So so I'm happy to say that we shouldn't have any, unless there's some extenuating circumstance that I don't know about, because we're all vaccinated, you know, we're in good shape and we're ripping and running.
Craig Smith right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Season's about 100 days away, Coach. Fired up for you and those guys, and I look forward to catching up with you again here very soon.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Hey, fellas, thanks for having me on. Go Utes!
You got it. Craig Smith right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.